Herzdonne. Heartbeats, the Swiss Midwives Podcast. Jane Sandel is a midwife in the United Kingdom. She is a globally recognized researcher in midwifery with a focus on midwife-led care and continuity of care models. I'm Jeanne Rey, and today I'm very glad to meet Jane Sandel. We are at the Forum Fribourg, and she's about to give a conference at the Swiss Midwives Congress. In this episode, she explains what midwife-led continuity of care is and its benefits for women and babies, but also under what conditions this model can be qualitative and satisfying for both women and midwives. Good morning, Jane Sandel. Can you introduce yourself and maybe tell the most important steps in your career as a midwife?
Oh, gosh. It's been long. So my name is Jane Sandel. I am a professor of women's health. I have been a midwife for 30, 40 years. As an academic for 25 years. So the most important steps, I worked out in Africa as a midwife as soon as I qualified, and that is where I learned midwifery. I learned my midwifery skills from some fantastic Malawian midwives, and they were taking part in WHO research into partograms.
WHO is World Health Organization.
And I thought, this is interesting, because where I worked in London, every single obstetrician had a different regime. So I thought, well, wouldn't it be wonderful to have practice where midwives and obstetricians are all doing the same thing? I came back home and I wanted to do research. I wanted to be part of creating evidence to improve care for women and babies. And at that time, midwives were not allowed in medical libraries. So it was not possible to look at the current evidence in the mid-80s, which I found infuriating. I was fortunate enough to be able to return to do a first degree, because I didn't have one. I did a master's degree. I did a PhD. And from that point on, have been very lucky to be able to do the research I want to do in the topics I want to look at, but always keeping touch with practice and with what's important to women. And more recently, I have been able to work with NHS England in a policy team.
NHS is National Health Service.
And with the World Health Organization. So key lesson is you have to follow your heart. What may be a sidetrack, my degree is in social science, not in medicine. I really wanted to have that understanding and bring that back to how maternity care works, particularly maternity care, because politics and power are such important issues that we have to deal with.
So, yeah, you made a PhD in sociology. Why? Why sociology?
Why sociology? My PhD was funded by the Department of Health. And they would only put their funding into high-quality research departments. There were no departments at that time who supervised midwife PhDs. And I wanted a really good technical training in qualitative and quantitative analysis. So my department was the best in the country for that. and my supervisor was interested in women's work and women's empowerment. So it was a good match.
Your research has focused on midwife-led care.
Yes.
Why this topic in particular?
When I started my PhD, we had a health committee that were keen to improve care for women, keen to improve women's experiences, keen for women to have more choice and control, and keen for midwives to play a great part in that. So it's a very right time, right place to be doing a PhD. So I thought, this is a really interesting topic, but let's just think about this, because midwifery is 99.5% female occupation in the UK. 50 to 60% of midwives have kids. And at that time, maybe 25, 30% worked part-time. So I thought, how are we going to shift, or how are we going to create a way of working that will increase continuity for women, but in a way that is sustainable for the midwives and improves the quality of care that women get? That was my research question, and it is still a really important question, because there is no reason why midwives should sacrifice their personal lives for their job, because that's exploitation. And my research has been looking at what is a middle way here. We work in a public health system, and we have European working time regulations, and we need to have a more systematic way for midwives to be able to do this and be integrated into the system and work in a respectful way with their obstetric and neonatal colleagues.
Yeah, and it's actually a very accurate question also here in Switzerland nowadays.
Yeah, the whole world. And there is a middle way to do it, where midwives can work in a small team. You can have one or two midwives providing scheduled care, antenatal and postnatal care, and the team can have a rota for covering out-of-hours care and labour. When you do that, women, about 70%, 75% of women will have the same two midwives all the way through their care, including intrapartum care, which I think is way better than we have at the moment. But in that way, those midwives are having proper time off call, and just sharing that out of hours responsibility.
Can you explain what is midwife-led care and what is specific about this model of care, and maybe what are the key findings about this model?
I want to separate out the two things. So midwife-led care, I think, is when we're talking midwife-led settings for birth. So this for healthy women. So this is home or a midwife-led unit, and it could be in a birth centre, it could be in a hospital, it could be freestanding. And I think that is separate from midwife continuity of care. You can have midwife-led continuity of care for healthy women, but we know that about 20-25% of women who are healthy at the start of pregnancy will develop a complication. Mm-hmm. So what do you do with those women? You don't wave bye-bye and say, I can't look after you anymore, right at the point when she needs a midwife most. Mm-hmm. You have to have a system where the midwife can continue being that woman's midwife, but of course she may also need obstetric care as well. That doesn't mean she stops having, she still needs midwife care. So, and then you can have midwife continuity care for women who start pregnancy with an obstetric history or medical complications, those women still need a midwife. And they often have complicated care schedules. So why not have those women having midwife continuity of care as part of a team? So I would separate out those two concepts because every woman deserves to have a midwife by her side, whether she is healthy or whether she has complexity, whether she has mental health problems. So I would not want to restrict midwife care to women who are healthy.
So what does this model, midwife-led care and or continuity of care, what does this bring to women and families? And what does it bring to midwives too?
Right. When it's organized properly, what do I mean by that? I mean adequate resourcing of staff, adequate equipment. I mean, this is really practical stuff. This is for every midwife to have a mobile phone, for every midwife who's doing a home birth to have the equipment and not have to drive to a hospital to pick up the equipment, for having Wi-Fi and access to the woman's really basic things here. And having cover set up. So I think the most important thing with continuity of care models and midwife-led settings is that there is an agreed guidance for consultation with obstetricians and with escalation and with referral and transfer. So the women understand what the guidelines are for them, so that the midwives understand, and so the obstetricians who are on the receiving end of women if they have to come into hospital also understand, so everyone feels safe. If you don't have that, I think it's risky. Because midwives will delay transfer or delay a consultation. So if you have that in place, which means integrated in the main health system, then we know from the research on birthplace midwife-led settings in UK and Australia that women who are healthy are more likely to have a vaginal birth. They're less likely to have interventions than healthy women who go into a hospital, with no difference in outcome for the baby, apart from first-time mothers planning to have a baby at home in the UK, where there was a slight increase in poor perinatal outcome. I think that's because there wasn't a systematic integration for referral and guidance, guidelines. For women who have continuity of care, this is low-risk women and high-risk women and women who develop complications in pregnancy. They're less likely to have a cesarean, less likely to have an episiotomy, more likely to have a vaginal birth. Their experience is much, much more positive and it's cheaper.
Can you tell more about this last point that is very important as an argument for continuity of care or midwife-led care?
Yeah. Well, the evidence, the economic evidence is really, this is a research gap. Overall, the review of that evidence showed that it was cheaper. I think we need to understand a lot more about how and why it's cheaper. Then that research needs to be done in the context of the setting where it's being provided.
Do you have some ideas on why it's cheaper? personally?
I think it's a more efficient system. No, in the UK, we have guidance for how many antenatal appointments a woman should get if she's a healthy first-time mother or a healthy multiparous woman. So in these models, the midwife is doing this one, this one, this, this one. There may be an appointment with an obstetrician. There may not be. I think in fragmented systems, it can be quite chaotic, and women end up seeing a midwife and a GP for the same type of care.
GP means general practitioner.
And there is less duplication. I think the other reason is there are fewer interventions. So, you know, to reduce the cost of instrumental birth and C-section and the resulting care, length of stay associated with that would also have an impact. So I think that what most economic studies have not done is a cost-benefit analysis. They've just looked at the cost, but they haven't looked at the benefits. And that's what we need to do.
And what about satisfaction on the side of the midwives with these models?
Really important, and not enough research on that. So when it is implemented realistically, then midwives are very happy. When it's implemented badly, quite rightly, they're not happy and don't want to work in that way. And the reason midwives are happy is if you look at the evidence on workplace stress and burnout, and what the key findings across the world, every occupation, is that the more control you feel you have over your job, the more positive feedback you have from the recipients of your work, and the more you feel part of a team and respected as part of your team, they're all protective factors against burnout. And long working hours is another risk factor. So when it's done properly, continuity of care will provide those three things: more control, reciprocity and feedback from women and families, and a supportive relationship with colleagues. So it's hardly surprising that it will you will not get burnout. When it's done badly, midwives don't feel in control.
Do you have examples of properly applied models, maybe in the UK or in the world, that could be inspiring?
Yes, we do. They're normally quite small case studies. There are some from Australia, there are some from New Zealand. And the consistent pattern across all of them is the targeted population has been defined. These healthy women, are they all from a geographical patch? Is it targeting women who are living in deprivation or from a high ethnic group? You set your team up with the support of the whole obstetric and neonatal team. It's integrated into whatever system you have. You control your numbers. So it's really common when these models are set up, women hear about it. In England, they've changed their GP to move into a patch to become eligible to have it. And if you're not careful, those numbers of women booking will shoot up and then the team can't cope. Or if you're only doing home births, you won't have enough numbers and you won't be economically viable. And that's a really important issue for a economic efficiency, you have to keep your plan numbers up, and it has to be monitored. Most of these good models have a manager who is not saying, I want you in at 8 o'clock, you have to clock in, you have to clock out. Because if you're not doing that, I don't know what you're doing. You want a manager who says, well, you're in control of how you work. If you want to do evening visits, if it's appropriate, then go ahead. But I want monthly data on your activity. How many births? Are you coming in for your births? Are you following your women? How many antenatal clinics visits? So for a manager, you're managing in a different way. And I think those elements are more important than the particular how many midwives, because every context will be different. Roughly, most of the successful models have between 35 and 40 women per midwife birthing in a year. And they're backing up births for another midwife quite often, because we have tried to have two midwives at a birth out of a hospital setting. So it's roughly that, and that's healthy women. So if women have additional complications or if they have social risk factors, it might be slightly smaller. But we've just done a piece of work looking at how midwives work with women with social risk factors. And instead of an extra midwife or reducing the numbers of women, we have added a community health worker or support worker to the team to support the midwives. So midwives do what only midwives can do, and the support workers support women in other areas. And that's brilliant, really successful.
And how long does it exist?
Well, this was set up by NHS England as part of their policy, so it's been running for 2 years, 2.5 years. It's been evaluated, report has been published. Women love it, midwives love it. Not enough numbers to look at outcomes, so they're continuing to keep the data for that.
And what do you think would be needed for this model to be more developed in the world?
Well, I think it's a way forward. Because it would not be possible for every single woman to have continuity of care, however much we would wish that. So who is going to benefit most? And women who would benefit most are the women who have the worst outcomes, or the women who have complicated comorbidities, or they have mental health issues, or they have social issues, or they're living in deprivation, or they are from ethnic minority communities. So if we can provide that model with the community health worker or to those women, I think we can make a real difference to closing that inequalities gap. So my bet would be, let's focus on that group of women.
And maybe as a conclusion, what would you like to pass on to the next generation of midwives? Since our Congress has for a motto, next generations, are we ready?
Well, working in a continuity or a midwife-led setting does not require any additional midwife clinical skills. We should have those skills at the level we qualify. What it does need is an awareness of how it needs to be organised to achieve that. And to be quite frank, I think the people who really need help and support are the managers who are being asked to implement this, because they need to understand, and probably need support from other managers that are doing it, how they have done it, how they have set their team up, how they've supported them, how they've monitored their activity, how they have maybe need to pay them differently or arrange transport differently for them, and how they can avoid those midwives working extra hours. So I think let's put this back onto the system. Is the system ready? The midwives are ready. They already have the competencies. Some may need to have refreshers, particularly in emergency obstetric care, if they're doing overs. But on the whole, I think it's the system we need to focus on. And for new midwives, I think the key message is it is possible to do it. You can have kids, you can work part-time, and you can have a satisfying job.
Thank you very much, Jane Sandell.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me.
Herzdünne. Heartbeats. The Swiss Midwives Podcast.